Hello and welcome to Navigating Nursing. My name is Laura Whitehead and I'm your host. I'm a qualified adult nurse, a critical care nurse, lecturer, senior fellow of the Higher Education Academy and a doctoral student, and welcome to Navigating Nursing. I'm joined today by Captain Katie Hook, who is the Practice Development Officer in Command and an intensive care nurse. Thank you so much, Katie, for joining me today.
Hi Laura, thank you very much for having me.
So I'm going to take you right back to the beginning. What made you want to do your nurse training? What made you want to be a nurse?
Oh gosh. So it was never really on my radar at all, being a nurse. I had wanted to be an actress when I was younger. Absolutely, yeah, very different. But at the time, so my grandma was very poorly, and she was admitted to intensive care, and unfortunately she did pass away, but she had the most fantastic care that I think I've probably seen. The nurses were fantastic, the doctors were wonderful, and pretty much from that point forwards I just knew that that was what I wanted to do, and I applied for nursing and I got in, and the rest is history, as they say.
Yes, and you're in the army, you're a captain.
Yeah.
Did you always know that you were interested in joining the military?
So I come from quite a big military family. So my dad was in the military, his dad and all of my dad's brothers were in the military, and it's a long line previously. So it was always something that I kind of toyed with, but never something that I really thought I was going to go ahead with. I joined the reserves when I kind of like first became a nurse, and then I kind of just thought, actually, it's now or never. Let's try the regular service, let's see how that goes, and I haven't looked back since.
And you've done quite a bit of kind of postgrad CPD education, including a lot of intensive care postgrad qualifications at level mm-hmm. 7. Were you always interested in further study? Was that something that you always knew you were interested in?
I was interested in it. It wasn't something that I particularly thought about as I was kind of like starting my nursing career. I think I was just very lucky that I was given the opportunity by my band sixes and band sevens at the time when I was in the NHS. And I kind of just grabbed the bull by the horns, as they say, and utilised that experience as much as possible, really, or that opportunity. And it was absolutely fantastic. I was really well supported, and I'm really glad that I did it now, and would absolutely tell anybody who's coming into nursing to do some further education along the line.
And have you got any advice for anyone that is maybe thinking of looking at joining the army or the military, that's maybe already qualified and worked in the NHS?
It is a big jump. It certainly isn't something that I think I anticipated as much as I probably should have done, more so because you've just got so much more autonomy in your job role, and in your skill set as well. And there are just so many more non-clinical opportunities, I think, in the military. And that is absolutely where the army or any of the services will give you that extra opportunity, really, whether it's sport, the chance for further education, just physical training. I would say absolutely go and do it, give it a try, but just be fully aware of what it is that you're going into.
And did you move into intensive care as a newly qualified?
No, yes. So I did 2 years on the ward. I was on a general surgery ward, and absolutely that was where I kind of honed my initial skills, really. And we were on a really busy general surgical ward, so really big post-operative and pre-op patients as well. We had PCAs, epidurals, huge wounds, TNP. Everything was thrown at us when I was on that ward, and that was really where I thought about intensive care, because we had so many step down patients or patients that needed intensive care support, and every time that we either handed over to them or they handed over to us, I really enjoyed kind of like talking to them about how sick the patients were and how we could make them better. And that was really what spurred me on to actually take that step to go into intensive care.
Have you got any advice for any nurses or students that are interested in intensive care as a speciality?
No day is the same, not whatsoever. You will absolutely learn so much information. And sometimes it can be quite overwhelming, but all of a sudden it will just click and you will feel safe in your knowledge and in your skills and in your expertise. And it will all just suddenly come together and you will feel so confident in yourself. And I think having with each day being different, it's never boring. You know, you are always, you're always learning, you're always pushing yourself, and you've always got that opportunity to lead and mentor other nurses as well, and for them to help you, because you're such a team in intensive care. And it's the same on every ward at the moment, but certainly in intensive care you become a really close family unit, and that's absolutely fantastic for some of those days where we've had such difficult times in the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I think actually just having that team around you is absolutely fantastic.
You have that support network.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
And I think as well, I think moving from somewhere where maybe you've worked for a few years, like everyone's had this experience, and then going to a new role or a new speciality, I think giving yourself time to feel confident and competent.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember being so frustrated going from A&E to ITU and thinking, everyone keeps talking to me like I don't know what I'm doing, or they're explaining really basic things. But actually, when you look back on it, you think, well, I needed to be told that at that level, because they don't know what you know, do they?
Exactly.
And being frustrated at myself for not, I don't know, being able to instantly set up ICP monitoring. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Feel like you've gone back to being a student again.
Absolutely. And sometimes that is, I think that's the hardest thing to have to go through, because you think to yourself, no, I do know what I'm doing. I am a nurse, but somehow I don't really know what I'm doing right now, because this is all brand new information. And it is, you're right. It's just giving yourself that time and being kind to yourself to just be like, okay, you know, I am going to learn this. I am going to get there, but I can't learn it all in a single day. So 100%, it does take a good 6 month settling in period, I think, just to feel confident in yourself, and to know what it is that you're doing, really.
Yeah, and to give yourself, and not to make a snap decision, not to do, I don't know, a couple of months and go, this isn't for me, that's it, I hate
it. Oh, yeah,
we've all done that, haven't we?
Yeah, it would be so easy to do that. But no, hopefully 6 months, and you'll feel so much more calmer and confident in yourself.
And do you mind just telling us, so you're the practice development lead, mm-hmm. That's your job role at the moment. Do you mind just telling us about what that job is and what it entails?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a new job role for me. So I came into this job in about September last year, and we kind of hit the ground running with it with my team. So I've got a team of 5 of us, and what we predominantly look after is all of our preceptees that come into Frimley Park Hospital, or JHG, Joint Hospital Group Southeast, which is our military contingent. And my clinical support team are on the shop floor, they are on the wards, they are working with our preceptees, and they are looking after them, they are providing them with guidance and mentorship, and if they've got any questions or if they're struggling, you know, to get used to the patient load, or you know, how to use certain paperwork. You know, we've got a brand new medication system here at Frimley Park, so it's utilizing that, how to get your head around it. So that's predominantly what we do, is look after, we are here solely to look after our preceptees. What we also do is provide regular clinical training exercises. So we absolutely understand how important having the NHS is here for us to work and understand our job role as nurses and AHPs, but also actually it's really important for us to be able to work as a military nurse in maybe an environment that isn't as clean and tidy as an NHS ward. You know, it is inside a tent, it's hot, it's dusty, you know, those kind of environments, working out of small boxes because we don't have lovely cupboards where we can just go and get an endless amount of stock from. So we concentrate quite a fair bit on making sure that our nurses understand what it is to be a deployed nurse, essentially, within the military, and how that differs from our clinical NHS settings. And we do a lot of just essential clinical training, making sure that everyone is up to date with all their basic skills, and then managing anybody that may be struggling ever so slightly. What we will always do is give as much time and effort for all of our struggling nurses as we can do, because we realise that actually a lot of our new nurses coming through now, you know, they trained during COVID. You know, they had a very, very different university experience to what we did when we were doing our training. And so actually it's making sure that they have also been given the right tools to be an effective nurse, to look after their patients safely, and to maybe just give them that extra little bit of a helping hand should they need it for a few weeks or months. And that's what we're here for, really. We're here to help look after all of our staff clinically and make sure that they're working as well as they can do.
I think that shows the importance of preceptorship, being able to be flexible.
Absolutely.
And look at everything in context. You're right that the student experience of placements and skills and everything was so different for all nurses training during COVID. And that's not something that, yeah, if you haven't worked with students over that period of time, that lots mm-hmm. of nurses might not be kind of aware of.
No,
it might
exactly.
be that where they were working had no students for quite an extended period of time over COVID because of, you know, the restrictions and safety concerns. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really important point for us all to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to give them that time, I think, really, to come back into work and to say to us, okay, I'd rather not learn this because that was only an online lecture, you know, that was meant to be a practical session, and we can facilitate that for them so that actually it's not scary, they don't fear it, and they can do it in their own time, learn it really well, and then take that out onto the wards and utilize it on actual patients. So we're really proud of our preceptorship program.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And have you got any advice for any student nurses or newly qualifieds at the moment?
I guess it would be utilize as much opportunity as you can to enhance your learning as much as possible. So if you do, certainly for your students, if you do get that opportunity to go on your spoke placements, your hub spoken hub placements, then absolutely go for it, because that's where you can learn, you know, the more nuanced elements of your nursing, even if it's, you know, going to the pain team or going with tissue viability, you know, or the diabetic teams. It's all those things that make up your one patient sometimes, and actually having a little bit of experience of all of it can be really beneficial if you're say if you're in a neurology ward or if you're in intensive care. Actually, all of those other skills that you've learnt will all be useful and all beneficial for that one patient, or for the 8 to 12 patients, however many you get on the ward at the moment. And I think for newly qualified nurses, it's just to not panic. It's to not think that you need to know it all straight away, because it will come. I think I certainly was probably one of those newly qualified nurses where I was probably quite hard on myself for not knowing everything straight away. Because I wanted to know it, you know, I wanted to be doing as good a job as I could do. But actually sometimes it's just not feasible to do that, and you end up burning yourself out before you can actually even become the best nurse that you can be. So I think it's just take a breath. You're doing everything that you can do, and as long as you know that you're prioritizing your patient's care and you're giving them the best care that you can do, that's all that matters really at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think being kind is so important, and I think being a third year, you can feel very confident, can't you? Particularly in that mm-hmm. longer last placement.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I knew it, I was really sure of myself. And I remember putting on that blue uniform on my first shift and going, it comes down to me.
Oh my God.
I've got to sign this drug chart and it's my name.
Absolutely.
And I remember picking up the phone and going, oh, I'll just get the nurse for you. And then I was like, I'm the nurse.
Yeah.
This moment of like seeing myself in the mirror, like, I'm the one in blue, Laura, that's
I
you.
Know. And you keep thinking, right, where's the grown up? Like, where else is the grown up? But then you quickly realise you're the grown up and you're like, oh no.
And that's a recurring theme.
Yeah. But honestly, actually, to be fair, that probably hasn't left me for quite some time.
No, I think
certainly in the military, so we move jobs every 2 years, every like 2 to 3 years, and which is great because you learn loads of different skills. But every 2 years you go into a brand new job and you're like, okay, what the heck am I doing? Like, where's the grown-up?
I'm a newbie again.
Yeah, and you have to learn and you have to go through all of this. Our resilience is definitely tested whilst you're in the military, but I think that's just everywhere at the moment. So But yeah, always try and find the other adult.
It's important. Key piece of advice from today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you said that your roles, you know, your role changes quite frequently in the military. Where do you see your career going? What are your own kind of personal career aims?
Gosh, so I would love to kind of stay in the clinical sphere. I love being an ITU nurse, but what I've also loved, so part of my kind of career whilst I've been in the military, I've been very, very fortunate to deploy overseas, and that has been absolutely fantastic. And I've got a really invested interest in that deployability side, I guess, and being part of units that are held at readiness, are ready to deploy their hospitals overseas either as soon as possible or with some advanced kind of notice. And I think that's where I see my career realistically, being subject matter expert in that deployment process and knowing what kit we need to take out the door, how that's going to affect our population at risk, what type of experts I will need within that role to hospital, you know, how much fuel do I need. There's so much more that comes to actually deploying a hospital out the door, and I think that's what I would love to kind of like focus on and make sure that we are doing that as slick as possible, because we've got so many fantastic units and regiments that are able to do that. And I would love to just kind of be part of that, I think.
Well, thank you so much, Katie, for joining me today and for sharing your advice and wisdom on your career. It's been fantastic to meet you. So thank you.
Thank you so much.